5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the chop up, trying to get chopped up, not get slapped up. You already know.
Man, what's going on, world? It's your boy, George Lee, a.k.a. Conscious Lee. Don't forget the Lee.
Yeah.
You know, and y'all know who I'm with.
It's your girl, Toya G. You already know what it is. You already know how we going to do it. Thank y'all for tuning in this late to the chop up. Who else is with us?
Yo, it's your boy, Damo, with a political plug. We in here. It's late edition. You know what I'm saying? Hey, really appreciate y'all for joining us. We got the boy, G. Lee, here on location.
On location. In Southern California.
In Southern California.
You know.
To show our respect, pay our tribute, see what I'm saying, to losing a soldier, you feel me, a real one.
Definitely.
The boy Nipsey Hussle, right. You know what I'm saying? So, you
right,
know.
Right, right,
hey, man. At this point, I know everybody has seen on their timeline a whole bunch of different dialogue concerning conspiracy theories, concerning snitching, concerning
homophobia,
concerning buying back the block, concerning economics, concerning a whole bunch of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to just try to parse through that and give y'all a little nuanced perspective lens to kind of, you know what I mean, talk about this shit through, you feel me? Because everybody been impacted.
More importantly, we really trying to hear from y'all, so make sure y'all in the comments, even if it's a RIP Nip, you know, it's never a bad time to drop that logic and drop that news. It's been a whole lot of back and forth about, you know, not even a lot of back and forth, because to me, a lot of people have straight up agreed that this is our generation's Tupac. All of us was real young when we lost Pac, right? And so to hear somebody who was self-proclaimed, and it's a lot of people to say, I'm the greatest rapper alive, I'm the GOAT, I'm this, I'm that, but to hear him boost himself with that accolade and back it up, and really be that, you know, that person. Yeah. I think it's no debate or no dispute. I wanted to go ahead before we got into kind of some of the nuances in the conversation and drop this Nipsey Hussle quote. And I shared it, I think, on my IG or something like that, because it spoke volumes to me just about the truth of how he moved. And it's very simple. He said, I taught all my niggas how to fish. Some caught more than others. Some said they'd rather be fed. Some passed me up in the process. But at the end of it all, I know I ain't hide the game from my people, and I'm real for that. And I agree 1,000%.
Yeah.
Shout out to Nipsey Hussle.
Hey, if we can start off more lighthearted.
Yeah.
Did y'all catch that Future try to... Y'all catch that?
No.
I know you caught it, Damo. You didn't catch that
Future
try to compare himself to Nipsey Hussle?
Hey, who?
So in this same tweet that you had right here,
yeah,
it went viral. Young Scooter, a rapper from, you know what I'm saying, Atlanta, had shared this tweet. And Future had commented on that thing like, we... You know what I'm saying? Gotta do more of this us.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This, that, and the other.
He's like, we need more like us. Yeah,
they
lit
his ass up in
the
comment section.
Thank you. You can't take care of your children.
What happened?
You don't take care of your children. How you?
And they talk about us.
It's like us. Soldier Boy.
Yeah, they hit you with the Soldier Boy. You know, it was no joke.
Hey, I think rapping about, you know what I'm saying, getting on your women's and I just fuck this bitch in the Gucci flip-flops and Molly Percocets.
You feel me?
It was some cool stuff to jam, man, but it's nothing like Marathon. Nothing like, you know what I'm saying? Get that money hustle.
We only got to talk to music, right? Like, just on the standpoint of, like, nigga, what y'all represent, you feel me? Like, y'all on, you, bro, you represent something else. The people love your music. We appreciate your music.
Appreciate
we
you,
appreciate
man.
What you stand for, partner.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, Nip was on a whole nother level.
Stay in your lane.
You wasn't there.
Stay in your
but,
lane.
But so to ease into the conversation, right, I think one interesting aspect of what people have been talking about is the question of, well, how many Nipsey Hussle songs you know, right? Like, you know, well, y'all wasn't even talking about Nipsey Hussle until after, you know, all of that bullshit, right? Now, I gotta ask y'all, where y'all, like, did y'all listen to a lot of his music?
I did not listen to a lot of his music. I only heard his music when I was around. You know what I'm saying? My boy Rasheed, you feel me? He was a Nipsey Hussle head.
Shout out to that.
I ain't really listening to Nipsey Hussle like that. As a matter of fact, right now, I'd be hard-pressed to even rap any verse from Nipsey Hussle. And I can tell you songs. It's because everybody been sharing so much.
Similar, I mean, honestly, living out here in Southern California, you definitely gonna get some. You jump in somebody else's car on the way somewhere, somebody else gonna go turn up, they're gonna play some Nip the same way they're gonna play some YG, the same way they're gonna play a couple other different artists, and so it's to be expected. But on my own leisure time, I definitely wasn't banging with them. I do know a lot of people from the town, shout out to Kansas City, bang
really
with Nip,
yeah.
And a lot of people who, you know what I'm saying, I grew up with, who I talk with, they feel like they really speak. He speaks the experience and the truth about what it looked like to grow up in the city, to grow up in Kansas City, a big city as well as a small city, all at the same time, and really be out here trying to make something of yourself and of your future, because you know it's more to it than you know getting lit up every summer and all the shootings and all the drama and all the crazy stuff. A lot of, you know, my homies, the people I grew up with, his message resonates. I got two homies at this point that I got Nipsey tattooed. Shout out to Kylie. And shout out to, I can't remember who, somebody else on my timeline got one, but they really feeling this one. They grieving over this one. You know what I'm saying? And so I didn't personally listen, but I tell you what, if I didn't have Victory on lap on my phone before, but I definitely got that on my thing now. I've been slapping it. And I really, it makes you sit back and think about what you missed out on.
Definitely.
You know, the generation of music and how rapidly we get it or whatever, it makes it difficult to keep up with the next new hot thing. And you say, this generation's Tupac. And I'm like, yeah, nigga, so is everybody else. And so, you know, the luck of the draw didn't have me kind of listening and vibing, but I'm on the wave now, for sure.
Yeah, and me neither. Like, I got on Nipsey, like, a long time, when he was on there, we had that killer track, that killer track with Drake. Killer. Right? Like, that was my shit, yeah, you feel me? But I always thought, like, dude cool, but he not my type, like, he not my kind of rapper. Yeah, rapper. Yeah. That's all it really was.
Say real shit, but how he said it, it enticing.
He was one of those rappers, like, similar to, like, the 21 Savage, Kevin Gates. I don't listen, well, I probably listen to 21 Savage a little bit more, but I don't listen to, like, them niggas a lot.
Yeah.
But their interviews, I watch. You that you're here. Because you learn more about them in their interviews than just listening to their music. And, like, one thing, Nipsey from the jump, he was always on some real shit in his interviews. Like, he was always on something that's empowering, especially when it came to financial literacy. I know one of the videos that's going around a lot.
His first video, too.
Yeah, like, one of his first.
He ain't got no hair.
Looking like a young Snoop. No bullshit.
Basically, yeah. With the cap,
you know, he talking about, like, he already talking about as an up and coming rapper. Liability. Talking about assets and liability. Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's on a different thing. Basically, I thought what it come down to is it don't take no genes to be able to recognize what Nipsey Hussle meant to the neighborhood and meant to the community was much more than rap. You know what I'm saying? He had a real vision. He had real principles. He had real values. He had real perspectives that he didn't take, you know what I'm saying, a person that needs the hope. Really pay attention to a whole bunch of mixtapes to do. Yeah. When I seen that LAPD and he had whole ass bloods, he big cripping, you know what I'm saying? Mourning and crying, feeling in his heart, you know what I'm saying? That's what really touched me, you know what I mean? And really, with that being said, I feel like we should go on and start getting into a little bit of the more intense of the conversation, because something I recognize with Game is that it's something unique about when straight black men, when we show emotion and pain, it's some way that the world kind of recognizes it. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I heard Game, hearing him, it almost brought me to tears because I heard how much pain was in his voice.
Like, I felt
everything. You know what I'm saying? It was like, man, L.A. tripping, man. What the fuck? I was like,
damn. It's on me, because, when they came, it's really that affect, because they not, it ain't no amount of words that you can put together that can convey, like, how you feel. So you just say what you know. It's just like, oh, me, cuz LA tripping, cuz, like, you me, just, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he said, I'm riding down, I think he might say, I'm riding down Slauson. It's 4 a.m, I can't sleep. You know what I'm saying? Making it intense, though, is, if I'm being real, what's hurt me throughout most of this understanding of Nipsey Hussle was I have felt personally betrayed from the murder of Nipsey Hussle, because I felt like he was living in the hood. He was living for the hood, living by the hood. And what we know about what they say, what you live by, you die by. You live by the gun, you die by the gun. It messed me up in my heart, in my head, to see that he put so much blood, sweat, and tears and really hustle all off the muscle into the hood, and they even got murked in the hood.
I mean, think about so there have been 1,000, and we'll get into the various narratives and explanations of how stuff been playing out, true, false, and different, all of those things. But, you know, the truth of what he was doing at his particular shop at the time that he got shot is something that sent chills, and that's what made, you know, the Game kind of really had me. But that made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. They said the only reason that Nip was at the store at the time that he was there was that he got a phone call about one of his partners that he knew from, like, 20 years ago, ended up going to prison, got out. and was on the way to see his family, wanted to jump clean real quick, make sure he looked good, was groomed up or whatever. Nip got the call and immediately hopped up and was like, meet me at the store. I'm going to get you right so you can go back home and be reintroduced to your community, to people who love you and care about you. I'm going to hold you down. And in the midst of that, at the Marathon store, that's when this Joker walked up on him. They start having an exchange, whatever. He go walk away, come back. And the rest is unfortunate history, right? But this shows you the fabric of the individual that we're talking about that is about that action. He just changed what that meant. What he to live and die by being about that action was completely different for him. He reappraised the whole concept by making sure that in opportunities and moments and spaces and places we can actually be the better version of Nip that he was trying to just show the hood that was possible to be.
Yeah.
He was on point and he lost his life because of that.
So you know, every time you hear more about like that, like just that day in general, you know what I'm saying? You kind of it's more upsetting. It's more heartbreaking.
Yep. Yeah, every time.
Too. And that's what make it more of like a community mourning thing, because it's just like the story. You know what I mean? Like just everything surrounding it is so positive that it's like it's truly a tragedy.
Absolutely.
Given the circumstances. Now, you brought up betrayal, right? So I want to ask you straight up, in terms of like how it went down, what is y'all perspective on the theories about why Nipsey was killed? I mean, I got my perspective.
Yeah, I mean,
but
how I feel like how I feel now that I've been able to think about it, it's Thursday, he got killed on Sunday. Mm-hmm. This is what I say. Even if we believe that the government has something to do with it, we cannot ignore how the idea of crabs in the bucket or the idea of hate and betrayal played into it. Because even if dude was a snitch and he worked for the government and he was conspiring to kill Nipsey and it was all a grand scheme plan,
why was he a part of the plan?
Mm-hmm. Why is it so easy for the law enforcement to go take somebody that looked like us to be able to get close to us to be able to do harm to us? Mm-hmm. Why was that such a thing that was rational and that we can go into 1968 and see film and see niggas that was talking about infiltrating the Black Panthers, infiltrating, you know what I'm saying, Nation of Islam, and understanding how come the laws know how to use us against each other?
I always, one of the things that I've used is kind of logic. I'm just this person. I think about it when I hear crazy ad-libs and songs. I think about it when I hear, you know, and watch and see masterpieces musically, artistically, whatever. I'm like, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall. And this whole conversation makes me, you know, wish I was a fly on the wall if the theory is true that this is some governmentally orchestrated, like, based on what y'all saying, be a fly on the wall, be like, look at these niggas. We know how to get them. Right? We'll just, you know how they do. You know what I'm saying? And that really becomes troubling because white people really do think about us like
this is why I feel like why I'm having a problem with the Dr. Sabi conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
It's because the last thing, like, when you disagree with that conspiracy, then it's all of a sudden, oh, you think the white man telling you the truth? Bro, first of all, you're talking to the wrong nigga, yeah. Okay? Like,
hey, collectively, all three of us collectively built our careers. Where we at right now in life came from us being able to intricately tie politically, socially, and economically how white supremacy and anti-blackness is always the root or at least the structural approximate cause to whatever the hell we're talking about.
Y'all can miss us with all of the sellout talk
and all of the boogeyman, the white man, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, hold on.
You know what I'm saying? And it showcases that narrative showcases a fundamental misunderstanding of, you know, how these powers work.
Yeah.
You feel me? What they see as a threat. Like, the thing, they've been handled Dr. Sabi. They know Dr. Sabi information out there. It's on YouTube. It's free. You feel me? Like, you don't need a Nipsey Hussle documentary to find out about that trial. You can find out everything you want about that trial right now through Google. Google ain't, you know what I'm saying? Like, they ain't assassinating them.
I didn't experiment before I went live. I went to YouTube.com and typed in Dr. Sebi's name. He has over 9 pages on YouTube of information of his teachings talking about the alkaline diet, talking about curing people of AIDS, talking about curing people of cancer, saying the only sickness we have is the mucus, talking about how this one you get the kick of. I want to hear you say, because you know what I'm saying? You the female body right in this conversation. According to Dr. Sabi, your diet can
manipulate your menstruation.
To the point where it can stop it and saying that it's good, because back in the ancient times, he heard that women only had menstrual cycles once every 4 years.
Makes no sense.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And listen, man, my degrees ain't in science. You feel me? My shit's in arts and science. You know what I'm saying? Right. You feel me?
Liberal science.
You know what I mean? Like liberal science. So I keep that a stat. You feel me? But I'm not a fool though when it comes to science. And it don't take no genius to figure out, hey man, say man.
Right.
You wildin', bro. Yo. That's some pseudoscience shit.
So Nipsey didn't stumble upon, like, the Ark of the Covenant. You know what I'm saying? This information. You feel me? Like, you know what I mean? He didn't have, like, a wealth of knowledge that everybody else didn't already have. You know what I'm saying? It's right there. You feel me? So to blame, like, his assassination, as I like to call it now, given a lot of how this conversation is going, the documentary for, like, his death, and to even push it, like, the way that it's being pushed. But this Dr. Sebi narrative to be a part of the mainstream conversation is disrespectful to Nip. It's disrespectful to Nipsey. It's disrespectful to his family because it what it does is it romanticizes Dr. Sebi, but at the same time what's the word I'm looking for? Help me.
Gloss over, really.
I don't even want to say literally. Gloss over. Like it diminishes.
Yeah.
It diminishes the actual happened. Right.
I mean, you know, it's been hard to find levity and, you know, the ability to laugh and joke about a bunch of things. But one of my favorite tweets that I've seen, or maybe the Facebook status, is like, you got niggas. And this is the truth. You got niggas riding for Dr. Sebi and riding for all this hidden knowledge that's just so valuable that niggas need, and you ain't drunk water in a week. You know what I'm saying? How are you riding so hard?
I see. How do you have such an intimate relationship and value
to Dr. Sebi's practices and to, you know, Nip and his relationship to it? When's the last time you worked out for more than 20 minutes?
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
man.
You wouldn't, like, stop.
Hold on. And then it's like, it's about eating vegetables, right? So, okay, we're talking about Big Pharma. What does Big Pharma do? They make chemicals.
Absolutely.
Right? They don't just make chemicals that's supposed to cure your body. They also make chemicals to preserve certain investments, such as pesticides, to preserve the vegetables that we get in the store, you know what I'm saying, from being eaten by insects.
They don't hear you.
What about those pesticides, though? That shit is a carcinogen.
However
you pronounce it. See, we're not doctors. We're not doctors, though. But we understand at least this basic understanding.
As a matter of fact, this was gen eds in all degrees that we got. This was the general education.
This is what you had to learn.
You had to learn to get to the upper division classes. Ultimately. You had to take these little classes to understand science 101.
And let me point this out to my conspiracy brothers out there. That is not saying that we believe everything that science says about the world, about people of color, you know what I'm saying? About any of that.
Again, us three collectively are natural skeptics. Like, we skeptical. We skeptics. That's what we is.
We skeptics.
That's what you say. Skeptics. Yeah. Meaning that we skeptical of most of the information that we give. That we are given.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, shit, we're not going to take face value everything we've given.
Let me ask a question, though. Because in a world of conspiracy theories and how we, you know, are looking and appraising them now, looking at the facts and the reality that hating ass niggas is going to be hating ass niggas, so it's not a conspiracy, niggas did that. Is there a grain of salt, though, that we are not offering to conspiracy in a world where we know what happened to the Panthers, where we know what happened with Tuskegee, where we know what happened in a whole bunch of different, and cracking the 80s. Like, there are so many other examples of clear...
Martin
Luther King and the FBI killing him. Like, that's why I don't want to be as swift to kind of slide out. Because, I mean, like, the way that you threaten it together might be sus. But the relationship between niggas and conspiracy, I think we have to leave some space.
But see,
I said we have to deal with the jealousy and hate part regardless.
That's gonna be another part of the conversation. But to what you're saying, that's why I'm saying the problem is the focus on the Dr. Sebi documentary
and not everything else
would cause him to be a threat.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
The financial literacy. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? The investing in black neighborhood. Yeah. Especially, I mean, because this is a conspiracy, right? down there in Inglewood, the Compton area, they built a stadium.
If people don't know, we are literally like 30 minutes away from where he was slain at. You know what I'm saying?
And should be like 15 minutes away from where the nigga got caught. You feel me?
Like, I'm talking about where my hotel is. Every day I pass up the Bellflower exit on my way to here. And I've been here since Wednesday. I've been seeing this shit blow my mind every time I see.
Hold on. This is a conspiracy. A true conspiracy would be, given the fact that they actually building these stadiums down here, because they building one for the Clippers too.
Uh-huh.
You feel me? This land, all this land in that area becomes more valuable. You feel me? Because they building this shit in the hood. So if you got a nigga that's buying all that shit up,
you got to deal with him.
You feel me? Yeah.
To try to do anything.
And then when you got a nigga that's telling other people that we need to buy this shit up. Because it couldn't just be, oh, Nipsey doing this. It's like,
he was
going
deeper than financial literacy. He's literally giving us game and talking about the actual tax cuts and tax initiatives for us to take advantage of, to going buying land and going buying lots.
Exactly.
That shit dangerous.
That's the conspiracy.
Playing
their
game. Now you're not.
That's the better
black
conspiracy.
Market.
That's the better.
Now you're literally taking their paths and their loopholes to take their shit.
And Dr. Sebi shit, that conspiracy watered down your whole perspective, because it make me feel like you're not thinking critically about the end result and how it is.
Exactly. So not even make you think like they not thinking critically. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? They
it's
not
happening.
You feel me? It don't help that he was joking about, you know, if they
you know what I'm saying? Because that's the part right there. I'm not going to ignore. We can't ignore Nipsey's own words of being like, "Hey, my boy's been warning me, telling me that me doing this documentary is, you know what I'm saying, is risky business."
Yeah.
I'm not ignoring it. You know what I'm saying? I am still saying. We three debate people, so we're gonna look at the actual things you are using to tie your argument together.
Just
so if you tie your shit with bullshit,
and just in case y'all wondering, here's a cell for my particular field of education and argumentation. It is argument, right? There are three parts to an argument. You need a claim, you need a warrant, and you need some evidence, right? You got to round it out. Examples only thicken the plot and make your argument stronger. So a whole lot of those, there's been disjuncts and connections, a whole lot of claims and not no warrants. A whole lot of warrants, but I don't really understand what you're trying to get at.
It's speculation. Like, you hinting at shit.
And so
you
saying a whole lot without saying.
But it's, I mean, because like, and then when we talk about blaming the white man, we blame the white man. He, like, I mean, and when we say the white man, we definitely talk about whiteness, you know what I'm saying?
White supremacy,
it's
like, shit like
an ontological concept. We can get into that at another time, but definitely, we're talking about a system that created the conditions that made, you feel me?
Shit possible. To make that mentality, almost like this. There's been a lot of talk about the mentality of crabs in a bucket ever since this happened. What we think about in terms of crabs in a bucket is everybody is talking about the problem being the crab, or a problem with the crabs in the bucket analysis starts with the crab. Yeah. Our analysis will start with the bucket and how crabs' natural habitat is not a damn bucket.
Yeah.
So we're going to think about how being in a bucket or how being in a particular environment forces you to act in a particular way.
Yeah.
I.e. being a hating ass, you know what I'm saying?
It's the nigga that put the crab, put the crab trap in the sea is the problem.
Yeah,
you feel me? Like that's what... But, you know, niggas don't think...
And to be on some Malcolm X shit, we not ridden responsibility from blackness or black people at all. That's why I started with talking about jealousy and talking about hate. Because people have... As a community, I believe it's more detriment to us to make this conversation be straight government conspiracy and not think about and talk about specifically the violence that we do to each other. And I ain't talking about no surface black-on-black crime bullshit either. Because we know that violence happens when you're approximate to.
Like,
if I live by a whole bunch of Asians, I'm going to commit crime versus Asians. If I live by a whole bunch of white people, most likely I'm going to commit crime versus white people.
Exactly.
I'm not going to go to the other side of town and go commit a crime because I'm poor. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at drastic times called for drastic methods, so I'm not finna go way over to do this shit. I'm going to do it. You next door to me, I'm finna rob you. You stay across from me, I'm finna kick your ass. I'm not gonna do it over there.
So
that's what, you know what I'm saying? So keeping that clear.
Convenience.
So that segues into the next part of the Nipsey conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Was Noriega. Like, I feel like he had like a really good take on it, you know, why he felt what was fucked up, what happened
the
to
betrayal,
Nipsey.
Basically.
And his point was that, like, he was saying Nipsey did everything right. He didn't sell out. It's another level to talk about whether or not he was problematic, but you know what I'm saying? Nori was making the point that Nipsey did everything right. He stayed connected to the hood.
Oh,
he invested in
it. I thought about the notion of being problematic in this tweet.
Hilarious. We're gonna get there.
Shit killed me.
You know what I'm saying? He stayed connected to his hood. He invested in the hood.
Yeah.
He put the hood on. You know what I'm saying? He did everything right.
All the principles the hood tell us in order for us to keep it 1,000 with the hood, he kept those principles to his chest.
To the T. And this is how he ended up. And so Nori's point was,
I can't
What's the point of keeping it real? You feel me? Like on some Dave Chappelle shit. When keeping it real go wrong. You feel me? Is this the extent of keeping it real? So, I mean, do we put fault in the accessibility that the hood had to Nipsey, given like his status? Like Grammy nominated artist.
Yeah.
You feel me? Now like he really is an investor in the neighborhood. You know what I mean? The amount of money that he was getting, the relationships he was developing. Is there something to be said about people with that type of status keeping themselves accessible to hood shit?
No, because I think the first criticism that you make of niggas who don't do that is, look at this fake ass nigga, he got his shit, he hit a lick and got out. Now, I watched a video, and I don't remember who was on this video, but they had a great, robust, and very poignant statement about the problem with like taking issues with niggas trying to get out of the hood. Niggas, rap, hip hop is not a path in, it's a path out. Nobody does and gets into the game and switches up and moves away from a more violent existence and a problematic existence to try to focus on their music if they're trying to stay there, right? So the goal is always to get out, but what getting out looks like for everybody is gonna be different and subjective, you know what I'm saying? And so I think Nip was having to hold that intention the way a lot of people who come up hold an intention, the way that we have to hold stuff intention. I get criticized all the time, not only because I don't really have time to go home all the time, but you live in California now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's a whole lot of weird, you know, explanations for why I do how I do and how I move, because I've experienced some type of elevation. And so I think it's very dangerous to look at people and the hard work they do and the nights that they don't sleep that you don't get to see and the sacrifices they make and try to be critical of how they move. Because if those sacrifices, if the things that I gave up have culminated in me staying on my block, if that means I need to stay and run it, that, like, that's just how I translated my success. Mm-hmm. The same way it's how I translated it if I decide to move to the suburbs and take my family about this shit. All of it has to be fair game, because the last thing we need to do is play both hands when we criticize a nigga for getting out the hood and we also look a nigga in the face and say, well, you done for staying there. What sense does that make?
Yeah, and that's...
But to me, that's literally the double bind, though, that I think us as niggas is put. That's why I think the question is really a double-edged sword. Because on one end, it's easy to pathologize each other to, because really we really measure success amongst black people based off how far you can be from black people. Mm-hmm. I'm seen as being successful in my hood and west side of Bryan because I don't get to be around a lot of niggas. The niggas see me around a lot of white people all the time.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm seen as being successful. So I understand that my success is being measured based off my proximity to white people, means being how far I'm away from black people. You know what I'm saying? So that is a reality. I know that. Another reality, though, is to know, like, on some real shit, on some, like, some intra-intellect shit about niggas, we know that jealousy and envy come so natural. I seen a video of Boosie, and people that know me know I used to be a big Boosie head. Mm-hmm. But I seen some shit, you know what I'm saying, that he said that was real. He said that majority of rappers get killed in their hometown.
Period.
And what he said about that is that what it come down to is, like, if me and you was a third grade class to get a Damo, but I'm in a different place to you and you feel like shit. Nigga, I went to school with you, you ain't shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Make you question yourself, but make you feel like, nigga, you ain't nothing. Mm-hmm. I went to school with you, walk the same path. You know what I'm saying? So it creates that jealousy and envy off the top, because it's like, nigga, you ain't shit. You think you're better than me. I'm going to show you ain't better than me. You know what I'm saying? So that's the double-edged sword. It's like, I don't want to be in the hood, but...
And that's why we definitely have to change our relationship with the hood, right? Like, because one, the first thing we got to understand is that the hood is the environment. It's not the people.
It is.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like, bucket.
I got a quote for y'all, too.
You feel me? So from that standpoint is, we don't want the hood, right? We want a neighborhood. Like, we want somewhere where we feel safe.
We want a community. We want to see people who look like us.
Doing well. Succeeding. Helping each other. You feel me? The hood got us selling dope to each other, robbing each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, gambling. Like, it got us in a situation where, like...
We literally crabs in a bucket. In order for me to get out the bucket, I got to put another nigga down.
Right.
Literally. Like, that's what you think. What I'm
that's what you think. That's you feel you me?
Right. Buy into it. Be conditioned. Right. I condition this condition.
Exactly. But if we able to get out of that hood mindset, you feel me? Then we kind of shift away from that. The problem is that the people are there. So you gotta change that place. And then putting yourself in that place, you put yourself in that proximity of life. Because one
come
thing.
Come with them, come territory.
Man, I'm telling you, growing up in Kansas City, the crazy shit was always the college student that came home to visit their family. You feel me? That's all. I mean, you can't even say Kansas City. That's just hood shit in general.
All the way around.
When you go, like, literally, when you, like, I'm scared to come home because, like, nigga, I'm a statistic. Like me, literally. Like the nigga who was just like, he came on to visit his family, and then some niggas just shot some shit up. And the nigga lost his life.
The wrong time, and now he's facing an indictment because, you know what I'm saying?
Look, I'm coming home 19, 20, 21, 22. My mama up my ass. Where you going? When you coming back? You're not finna, you know, let them take away my investment. All the stuff we worked on, all the Like, legitimately, that's how quick niggas getting sucked up on the block.
Hey, your mama didn't play.
At all. Bro, I went to graduation, y'all, and went home. I didn't go to a senior party. I didn't go to a turn up. She was like, I wish I would do all this. You know, walk across that stage and you get shot for, like, your my mama. But she was, but that's how random it was.
Yeah,
random girls chilling, turning up, pop, just popping up dead.
Yeah, man.
Getting shot, just minding their own business at the party.
They from a bigger town. I'm from a small country town. I've only been to jail one time in my life. I went to jail my freshman year at OU in front of my house. I'm about to go back to school in a week. You know what I'm saying? So just understanding how the pitfalls of your own hometown, where you more familiar, where you didn't grew up, where you didn't kind of got your understanding of yourself in the world. It can be one of the scariest places to be when you grown. I can tell you right now, I'm a grown ass man right now with kids and a wife. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking, when I go back to the barn, I keep my nose clean in every way imaginable. But I still be paranoid and low-key kind of traumatized, because I know it don't take much of nothing for me to be on jail times and for me to be a George Lee Jr., X, Y, and Z, and it'd be nothing. So yeah. It's just like, you know?
But before you get that quote,
yeah.
I'm going to say this. One of the things that Nori said about, you know, why we appreciate Nipsey is because he had his story, like, right there on Slauson and Crenshaw. Like, right there in the middle of the hood that he grew up in, you feel me? He could have had this shit in Beverly Hills.
Calabasas.
He could have had this shit in Hollywood. Like, shit, out there in Orange County.
Diamond Bar.
But he had this shit right there in the hood, you feel me? And that's where he lost his life, you feel me?
That's what messed me up about it. It's like, if I went back to Bryan, I want to be in mine on West Side, you know what I'm saying, MLK in Texas, you feel me? Where I grew up at, where I had to run from, where I was at, I went right there. I ain't go to, you know what I'm saying, to wail over here to do my shit. I get killed where I spent my whole life.
On the nigga that you was putting on.
So, I didn't catch the interview. This is a tweet that I'm reading. Y'all know I pull a lot of my business off of the Twitter. And I don't mess with Charlamagne at all. Not even a little bit, right? I just don't like how the nigga move. I don't like his politics. I don't like how he deal with people. I don't like Charlamagne. But he says this. So, this tweet said this. Charlamagne said, we got to heal. Because if not, we're going to have another generation of trauma passing itself off as culture. And that really fucked me up, because that might be the realest shit that man has ever said. And I couldn't retweet it quick enough. Because, again, and I'm going to repeat it. Apparently, Charlamagne said, we got to heal, because if not, we're going to have another generation of trauma passing itself off as culture. We're going to have a whole another generation, and this is another conversation, hood politics, not snitching, but a whole another generation of people losing their lives, brothers, sisters, cousins, uncles, nephews. Shout out to my man's Doc, who lost his brother in the city most recently. I'm feeling for you, homie. And the reason why is that this is what we do. It becomes, you know, the same way that we become desensitized to mass shootings and to conversations about terrorism, whatever the hell that is. It is because it is our culture. It's what we do as Americans. Yeah. It's what happens here. It's a part of it. In a lot of ways, a lot of nigga shit is a lot of traumatic shit.
So to take that shit to its deeper level, is like, it's literally, you know, the 90s is defined by losing Pac and Biggie.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's defined by.
Literally.
Like, or not even just Pac and Biggie. Eazy-E. You feel me? Big L. Like, you feel me? Like, all them legends, you feel me? And so,
it was got took too early.
Yeah. But see, that's what we call the golden era. You know what I mean? But, like, it's defined by, like, that type of pain. Like, that, yeah. Them traumatic experiences.
Literally.
Them traumatic experiences. But the problem, the reason why we, like, why he's saying it's so relevant, is because now with Nipsey, we had somebody who actually was more impactful. Yeah. Because, I mean, I don't want to say one death is more valuable than another one. Mm-hmm. But when you juxtapose, XXXTentacion mm-hmm. with Nipsey, right, okay.
XXXTentacion,
yeah, him.
You know what I'm saying? No, just, I mean, I don't want to just, you know what I mean, but
to him too.
You feel me? When you juxtapose that, like, what happened to X? Like, it was sad. It's like, damn, that was senseless. You feel me?
Shit happened on my birthday.
It's crazy, but given the ripple effect and the impact that Nipsey had, not just on, like, his hood, but, like, just rap culture, period.
Yeah.
Like that's what make that shit a tragedy. Definitely, you feel definitely. Me? Because it ain't just like, oh damn, these people, like with X, it's like, oh, these people lost his family. Mm-hmm. Like with a nigga like Nip, like it's more like we lost a leader.
Yeah. We literally did. You know, one of the biggest questions I had, and of course everybody has a different icon, a different person who they really, I don't know. A different person who...
Where your question at, Paige, Kimfolk? Go and put it on there. I don't see your question.
There's a different interpretation or analysis of who is a leader. Right? In any, I'm just trying to figure it out. But who is a leader? And one thing I always wondered was who will we be able to say? Like, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, MLK, Martin Luther King, the Panthers, we were able to see, like, directed, pointed, they are running shit and speaking on our behalf, speaking truth to power, making moves, whatever, whatever. And I think, you know, the nature of social media activism, the nature of a bunch of different shit, mm-hmm. makes it hard to pinpoint one leader mm-hmm. really moving any particular movement. Yeah. We try to do that with Black Lives Matter and then a thousand different offshoots of that happen, so we yeah. never really so identify one particular matter, leader. Exactly, and then all of a sudden, Black Lives Matter... Politics, some of it was like, okay, I don't really bang with that. As a black person, like, we matter, but that's too much. But then also you criticize people for being too hard. And I say all this to say, I think we might be able to walk away saying that is a heavy voice. Like, not just a presence in hip-hop, not just a cultural ambassador, a cultural icon. But I really feel like, you know, for niggas and what liberation looks like in the 21st century, it's Nip.
His accomplishments is being put in the Congress, putting congressional record.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, that's big.
But look, this is the thing, though. The problem, though, is that it ain't until now that a lot of people even know about this shit. Right? Even know about, like, a lot of his efforts. And that's because it's not public.
Nah, man. hey, now, this is where you say it simple. This is where you quote your boy J. Cole. What's the line? Either you die before your time or you
probably fucking it up, whatever it is, but I get the sentiment. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you die before your time and you guys are legend.
You know what I'm saying?
Or you live a long life and you something is come
yeah, there. It's something like that. But what it is though, what I'm more speaking to is like when it comes to social media and social media culture, mm-hmm. we get so caught up in slanderous shit that we don't get to talk enough about the Nipsey Hussles, you feel me? Like, about, like, I mean because it's not,
the
like...
the state of niggas. Go back to Sarah Seti and Umar Johnson. Like, we should have been... we needed an opportunity to have black intellectualism get credibility again, right?
Yep.
And we needed a way, an inroads, to get to the Wildersons and Sadia Hartmans and the Winters and whatever. Yeah. And that could have been a very material way to combine generationally relevant conversations with black scholarship. But instead, we watch the niggas debate each other and sound stupid and make niggas look dumb in the process.
Talking about fighting each other instead of talking about some real intellectual building. Like, iron sharpening iron type shit. But hey, but to take that quote, though, from Charlamagne a little bit further, something I've been thinking about deeply is that I had shared a Facebook like I don't call it a meme, a post. Shout out to my nigga Ghazi, you know what I'm saying? It was I thought it was funny, you know, but some of my, you know what I'm saying, people that kind of have this, you know, identity pushed me a little bit, and I allowed myself to be pushed, and I went and read, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So the shit that I shared was my nigga Ghazi, you feel me, self-identifying, you know what I'm saying, proud gay black man, you feel me, said, hey, let the hood mourn Nipsey Hussle. Your grandma was homophobic and we let you, you know what I'm saying, celebrate mourn that her. Bitch, basically.
Yeah.
You feel me?
That's
basically what you said. I found it funny because this is a gay person
with the backdrop.
Saying the shit, you feel me. The backdrop is, though, you know what I'm saying, is that, it's how I understand it. What's messing me up so much about this Nipsey shit is that I feel betrayed. So I seen a tweet that posed the question, imagine being murdered or being violence being placed upon you on the same people that you're trying to help and liberate, right? So I thought about it in terms of black women and in terms of black LGBTQ people, period. You feel me? And what it came down to is these the people that always already got to carry around that betrayal, because the same people that they fighting on the front lines for is the same person that most likely be the first person to whoop that ass and kill them. That's the part that made me really come full circle on this shit about being feeling betrayed and envy and jealousy.
But the part,
because I believe it's at the heart of that shit.
But see, the part that you didn't, you know what I'm saying, that you missing is explaining the homophobic aspect of the conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
So Nipsey had tweeted something about, like, he believed in the gay agenda.
Yeah, you feel me?
Nipsey pretty much believed in the gay agenda. He felt like Like, there was a, that, like, you know, he said, I don't look down on, you know what I'm saying, gay people. But, yeah,
he believed the gay people, like, did they, come out and, they pushed and tried to, try to.
Make it seem like it was something that, was being pushed. Like, they putting gay people, gayness.
Because then he'll say, I don't have nothing against, you know what I'm saying.
I got family.
At all, like this. But I do believe that it's an agenda to emasculate black men and make it where we seen as not being, as always being thugs or being homosexual. You know what I'm saying? He did say that. Right. He tried to retract and try to apologize type shit. My wife kind of got on my ass on it. I think that she, you know what I'm saying, a valid. But I think I give Nipsey the benefit of the doubt in saying that I think that he was going to be able to grow from that if he wasn't murdered right now.
I mean, which I'm saying? And I also feel
and
like...
it could be me giving too much benefit of the doubt. I mean, but I'm thinking that, because to me, he showed me he was always financially literate. But, he was just starting to get culturally, literate.
Even to that question, the point guys he's making, though, is that he gone though.
Yeah, you feel gone, me?
So. And so even though we have relationships with problematic people. It's as simple as that.
So I don't know if y'all remember, because this scenario kind of reminds me of how we looked at Stephon Clark, who got shot in the back, up in the Bay, right? And then we seen all his tweets, trash to black women. And half the people was like, nah, that nigga was trash to black women. Black women labor hard for black men. This is fucking problematic in a world where he's showing us who he is.
Yeah.
And it's forcing us to question our relationship and politics to ride out for niggas in their unique targeting by the powers that be. On the other hand, niggas was like, he died so young, he had time to grow. We can't really underestimate the room and the space that he had to become this different person. And I was left unresolved then. I really don't know. I'm not really into injecting a veneer of anything onto somebody's narrative. Yeah, everybody has possibility. I could be a millionaire tomorrow. I could be broke today, and I could have been a millionaire tomorrow.
Yeah.
Does that mean I was a millionaire today? Hell no.
I mean, I think.
And so to project onto somebody that's something that's not their state of affairs by the time they get up out, how do you know a tree but the fruit, but by the fruit that is bearing?
Now, this is the thing. I think people.
Come on now, Toya.
That's word.
I think when we get into these conversations, people lose sight of the fact that there are things like interpersonal relationships. Right. Like when we start talking about racism, homophobia, transphobia, any of those, you know what I'm saying, isms and phobias.
Yeah. Especially dealing with gender and sex.
Right. What we talking about, social constructs, institutional issues. You know what I'm saying? Because when we talk about social issues, we're talking about institutional issues because, you know what I'm saying? That's how those
things manifest themselves.
Exactly. So what happens is we develop interpersonal relationships. That are created outside. I mean, now they're interwoven, but the foundation of those relationships are outside of those structural, you know what I'm saying, institutions. So, for example, like, fuck cops, right? Yeah. But if my uncle is a cop, I love my motherfucking uncle. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, and so cops may be problematic, but if a nigga, you know what I'm saying fuck all cops, then I'm gonna be like, that's my uncle. You feel me? When we look at something like Nipsey, based on his status. Not his status, based on his works, like how he carried himself, like what he did, people developed an interpersonal relationship with who he was.
Yeah.
Like, and that's how leadership works, because like we shouldn't have the expectation that our leaders are perfect. We shouldn't have the expectation that, you know what I'm saying, that all of a sudden they know all of everything and can move through any of these social issues unblemished, right? We people. Like, we're socialized. We have biases. That's a part of the game, you feel me? But we got to understand that about the people that we call leaders. So that's why when, you know, shout out to Amber, she kind of called me out. And she called out everybody for calling Nipsey Hussle and like a leader. And me quoting Kodak Black, you know what I'm saying, giving, you know, his shit. But at the same time, what we got to understand is that, like, that leadership is derived from shit more than just... like, whether or not they fit, like, they check all the boxes correctly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like that ability to motivate niggas to move. You feel me?
Definitely, definitely, definitely. So, moving forward, you know, there's been a lot of suggestions for the intersection of Slauson and Crenshaw to become Nipsey Hussle Boulevard Avenue, something like that. Nick Cannon. His taking on the Sebi documentary, right? You know, which I think is powerful and amazing because in the spirit of the marathon continuing, there is intentional work to make sure his legacy doesn't die. I think I read that Jay-Z has come up with a $15 million trust fund for Nipsey's kids. I also saw What else did I see? A bunch of just different. I think Kansas City had a balloon release for Nipsey Hussle.
If you haven't Morehouse seen, Morehouse and two black universities in Atlanta did like the time the whole university came out and released their blue balloons and all this or whatever. Really, you see the solidarity and coalition building that his death has really been able to make in the community and made it where I'm talking about. I seen a Bloods and Crips. In New York,
yeah,
came out with a video. They about they flags hanging and banging.
Yeah,
they in the video. I'm talking about going dumb with each other, having a great time though, and they representing their shit. And it's not friction, it's not violent, it's not tense, but they different though.
Comments you know say Houston held some stuff down. We saw Dave East, you know, Dave talking about you know and holding it down at the rallies in New York.
Blue flag banging.
Hey, I mean, all efforts big and small. I saw a Facebook post that said my homegirl said that at her church. Her pastor prayed for Nipsey Hussle and his family. You know what I'm saying? And prayed over the whole situation and just sent love and life, you know, to the whole situation and everything that was about. And so this is amazing to me, right? I think I am in love with our ability
to come together.
It's late as a bitch. Like, I really wish we could come together in other contexts and way before people have to lose their lives on how to fix and resolve the state of affairs of what Charlamagne said is the trauma. Versus the culture, right? We are in a state of trauma. We are not in the culture, right? Migos kind of coined that phrase and was like, we're doing it for the culture. What are we doing? And what are we doing it for? And so I hate that this ensemble of questions is coming now, but I'm hopeful, right? I think this is a part, if you know anything about academic articles, and if you don't feel bad, right? There's an introductory statement. There's a section in the middle where we get into the nuts and bolts of what we've investigated. And then toward the end is future research. Right. So if I was, you know, doing this like an academic paper, I would really, I guess, wonder and even be optimistic or hopeful for what's next mm-hmm. for hip hop as a culture. I know a whole lot of music is going to come out now. And one of the things I really enjoyed about this whole issue or what I found heartening was that while I didn't listen to Nip specifically, a lot of my favorite artists did. Had special moments, had videos I had never seen, had pictures I had never seen.
Yeah.
And so he had an impact. And in the future, I'm really hopeful from my perspective, and I want to know what y'all hopeful for in terms of black folk, Nip, and moving forward from this, if he truly is our generation's Tupac. I personally am hopeful that, A, as we hear more music come out, it starts to be reflective of a lot of what Nip's messages were, right? I hope they call him out by name.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they shout him out for really, and I think a lot of people are, because it's just,
keep his teeth
I think even YG said he had a song or an album coming out, and he pushed it back.
Him and Schoolboy Q.
Yeah, to mourn and to really deal with it. But I hope that as a result of pushing it back, they're not pushing it back to sit on their hands and to be sorrowful, but they're like really continuing the marathon.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like for them and whatever context that they have, my hope is that we start to see tangible, palatable material, palpable changes in what our hip-hop culture looks like. You know what I'm saying? I want to fall back in love. I like hip-hop. I like hip-hop culture. I want to love it again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so, and things have made it difficult for that. And my only hope is that the whole culture can come back to this piece of a center and do it in the name of Nip. If nobody else, do it for Nip.
So, I'm hopeful about, you know what I'm saying, the direction of the culture as well. Because like we said, as much as nobody wants to be a martyr, like, what... You know, when we get one, like what they represent, you know, what comes after is extremely powerful.
And
when you look at people like 21 Savage and his like bank account initiatives and him pushing that financial literacy, that same mentality, you start to see these brothers like having that shift. And with Nipsey doing what he was doing, just like on some G shit, like low key. And not even necessarily low key, but not, you know, I'm not asking for Instagram. I'm not asking for, but like just doing it. Now that we, like now with him passing, it's highlighting more of what he did. I mean, it's safe to assume that it's going to reverberate through the culture.
Yeah.
And you're going to start to see that impact on like the type of music that comes out, what niggas choose to focus on. Like, because I definitely seen a meme that was talking about how they don't know how many Nipseys they didn't just birth.
Based off of that, it was tough too.
So, you know, I'm hopeful about shit moving forward, but it's just sad that it takes shit like this to highlight.
Hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this in George Lee fashion right here. You feel me? You see, I'm patting my head and rubbing my belly at the same time. So how I'm going to answer this question is, I believe that this Nipsey Hussle shit can show us that we can always be critical about how we internalize in black inferiority, meaning how we fucking each other up. But we also can be mindful of how the government is doing it at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, yeah, sometimes the simultaneous mess up. Sometimes it don't be consistent. You know what I'm saying? But I think there is a way for us to simultaneously be able to talk about how niggas get in the way of niggas while also be able to talk about how white supremacy and white folks get in the way of niggas. And not making it where it's either one or the other. It can be both. You know what I'm saying? Yep. That's the main thing that's been irritating me about this conversation, where I was, at first I was thinking like, how I'm going to do this podcast for this episode in terms of how much am I going to engage this conspiracy talk about whether the government did it or not.
Yeah.
Me knowing what I know about white supremacy, R.I.P. Fred Hampton, R.I.P., you know what I'm saying, Huey P. Newton, this nigga, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, we can keep on naming a whole bunch of people, you know what I'm saying? Even, you know what I'm saying, the Marsha, you know what I'm saying? I can name a whole bunch of people. You know what I mean? You feel me? But it come down to, you know what I'm saying, even when you talk about informants or whatever, what is it about black people that make it so easy for us, you know what I'm saying, to take another one of us down based off of how we look? I believe it's self-hatred. But also, you know what I'm saying, how does the government, how does external things from us also play into that shit?
I'm hopeful
that we can have a better analysis when we start talking, because inevitably some shit gonna happen again.
Right.
Inevitably. Shit gonna hit the fan, somebody gonna get killed, they're gonna be important, they're not gonna be important, shit gonna happen again. We need to be able to have a conversation to be able to hold us accountable while simultaneously being able to hold the system accountable for what it's doing to us and how we doing to each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It can be a complex thing happen at the same time. It's not a forced choice. It's not either the government killed this nigga or a nigga killed this nigga. It can be, hey, that was together. And sometimes when it comes to crabs in the bucket, the crab helps out the structure of the bucket.
Yeah.
And sometimes hate niggas helps out the structure of the hood to keep us down, to keep us dehumanized, to keep us lacking resources and opportunity. Nigga getting away. You feel me? And help a white man make it where they do it. And then, you know, that's my hope. You know what I'm saying? I know that's not as fluffy, but it's just real. That's really what I hope, though. I really hope that we can have a simultaneous criticism to make it where shit ain't, you know.
Hey man, hey, miss me with that. Like, chill on the Dr. Sabi shit, bro. Like, if I could leave niggas with anything, it's like, it's so much deeper than that. You know what I'm saying? It's so much deeper than that.
I just want to leave y'all with some hope. I feel like Nip would have done it, and as a matter of fact, he did. The math on this is very simple. Dedication, hard work plus patience. So if you are, you know, in a place where you're trying to figure out either where to go from here, now that we lost Nip, or maybe you a new fan and you just trying to figure out where to go from here in your real life, you got the equation.
Hey, yeah, man, shout out to my dog.
I know Kevin got dogs too. That's why he's dog number two. You know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to focus. This nigga want attention.
And what y'all don't understand is we got the world's biggest dog and the world's smallest dog.
All in the same world. Place right now.
It's about an 80 plus pound difference between these two dogs in this world.
Definitely.
It's like a 90
pound.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't talk about my weight. You know what I'm saying? And then, hey, my last statement, too, I guess I can keep it hopeful. Instead of kind of building a resentment for the hood because we feel like the hood took away one of our leaders and took away, you know what I'm saying, somebody who really was giving us light.
Yeah.
Let's not further pathologize the hood and allow the hood to be a community that has individuals, and every community has idiots. You know what I'm saying? So let's not plague the whole entire community for what one person did, you know what I'm saying, pulling the trigger. It wasn't most people that pulled the trigger. It was one person that pulled the trigger. So, you know what I'm saying, to leave some hope, we still should have some hope in the hood and not make it where we have too much resentment and distrust for the hood to make it where we just completely abandon it. And that's why we have the issues that we have and make it where Nipsey seems so as being unique, because it's like, hey, once you make it out, you ain't supposed to come back around there. Let's make it a norm to make it where when you get your degree, when you get your a contract, when you get wherever you're trying to go, it's a part of your duty to go back to the hood and show that little black girl, show that little black boy, to show that little gender non-conforming, that little transgender black person that, hey, this is what it's like to be, you feel me, to have a degree, to have a tax cut, to show us some different shit, you feel me? Don't leave us. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that all of us got to keep in mind.
Man, it's been real.
It's been amazing, y'all. Thank y'all. It's late than a month.
For everybody that was able to stay
2 o'clock there. And it's
we love y'all for real.
Yeah.
And these debate days is long. They start early. I think my feet hit the floor at 6.
We've been rocking since like
really 5:30, 5:45.
Hey, y'all said his name Kevin?
Keevan Monroe.
Keevan Monroe, yeah. Shout out to you. You got to go to the job, but hopefully you go to the job with us on your heart. We salute you. We love you. You out there on the grind. Everybody else watching, it's nothing but love.
GeorgeLeeSpeaks.com. Holla at your boy.
Hey, if you missed this episode or pieces of it or the earlier part of it, you jumped on late, don't even worry about it. I'm going to try to get this up for y'all on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts tomorrow. It's going to be easy peasy, so y'all be on the lookout and share this thing. We need to have a global conversation about how to move from culture to healing from trauma.
Right.
We ain't got to live like this.
And add the Facebook page, add us on Instagram, the Chop Up Show on Facebook and Instagram.
Hey, the YouTube link will be coming soon. You feel me? The Chop Up will be on YouTube soon. We love our Facebook family, you feel me? We trying to grow, though. You know what I mean? So,
we ain't gonna ban the Facebook, though.
Listen, we been loud. We gonna go ahead and soon. We gonna sing it soft. 1, 2, 3. This is the Chop Up. Try to get chopped up, not get slapped up. You already know.
Hey.
Hey, we out, y'all. Good night.
Finish. Finito.